You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
This morning is a special Sunday because this morning is Baptism Sunday. How many of you are excited about Baptism Sunday? That's what I'm talking about. We don't do baptisms very often around here because we share the baptismal with our Auburn campus. And so in order to do baptism, somebody's got to drive to Auburn and get that baptismal and bring it up here. And in order for them to do it, they got to come up here and get it back. And so they're doing baptism next Sunday. We're doing baptism this Sunday. And we are so excited about baptism. I can't wait to baptize people today. It's so much fun. But with my own children, they ask me all the time. They were here yesterday helping me set up the baptismal pool and put the water in it. And they were saying, "Dad, can we get baptized tomorrow?" And I said, "No, you cannot." And they were like, "What? Why can't we get baptized?" And I said, "Because I want to make sure that you understand what baptism is all about." So I guess being a bad father, I should have them in here right now, right? Hearing what baptism is all about. I'll have to preach this message at home. But I think it's important in church that you understand what you're getting into. I was in a children's service one time, and I don't want to belittle what this person was doing necessarily. I guess I am. But this minister was up preaching in the children's service, and one of the things they said was, they got to the end of the message, and they gave a call for kids that wanted to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to just tell you, as a former children's pastor, that is the easiest altar call to give. Like, if you want to feel good about your messages, preach to kids. Because at the end of every kid's service, somebody's getting saved. Because little kids don't understand that God will forgive them, right, any time. And so they think the only time they can be forgiven is on Sunday morning. And so they're always raising their hands. Well, this children's minister gave an altar call, and no kids decided to follow Jesus. And I was shocked. I was like, "Oh, wow, this is bad. You know, I can't believe this happened." And then the minister goes, "Hey, kids, guess what? In heaven, there's going to be cookies and candy." And the kids are like light up because, right, they've been sitting through a service for like an hour. And so you say cookies and candy to any kid, and they're going to pay attention. And they said, "In heaven, there's cookies and candy. How many of you love cookies and candy?" Every hand went up. And they said, "If you want cookies and candy, if you want to go to heaven, come down to the front." And I looked at the kids in my church and said, "Don't you go down to that. You're not being swindled here. If you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved because you know what's happening, or at least have an idea." And so today, our whole message is going to be centered around the idea of baptism. What is baptism all about? We want to talk about that today. And I want to show you something that happened in the water three different times in the Word of God where people experienced water and something amazing happened to their life. And then we're going to take those three moments and we're going to apply them to our lives. And there's some of you sitting out there right now, you're saying, "Well, Pastor, I've already been baptized. I'm saved. I just passed that one on over. I don't need this message. Can I get some more cotton candy grapes?" Right? That's what some of you are thinking. I'm thinking about the cotton candy grapes right now. And so you think that, but I want to tell you something today. Today's message is still for you. Even if you've been baptized five times, today's message is still for you. Because I believe there's something God wants to do in your life today. I believe God wants to minister to your heart today. And so we're going to see what happens in the course of this. And if you get to the end of the message today, now we've got like four people signed up to be water baptized, but if you get to the end of the message today and you say, "Pastor, I need to be baptized. Like, I need to be baptized today," then what we've got for you is over here on these tables, we've got it covered up right now because I know how some of y'all are. You've been taking the stuff, right? We got flip-flops over there. Some of y'all be putting them on right now. And so we had to cover it up, but we're going to take those covers off, and we've got flip-flops, we've got underwear, we've got T-shirts, we've got shorts, we might even have deodorant. I don't know what we got over there. I don't think we got head, you know, like hair things, but you'll just have to get wet today. It's okay, you know, fix it when you get home. And so we got all that stuff over there. If you say, "Pastor, I want to get baptized today," then we have it available for you. Don't you wait. Don't you, you know, if you know what it's about, then I want you to do it. I want you to do it. If it's something that God wants you to do, I'll stay here and baptize everybody if I need to. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into the meat of the message, how many of y'all saw that the baby pandas got born? Did y'all see that the baby pandas got born? Now, some of y'all don't care. Let me just show you a quick picture. Look at this. whoa, that's an ugly animal. Look at that ugliness right here. Put us on video mode. Can we get video lights for a second? Because I'm afraid some people aren't experiencing quite the ugliness that we have. Look at this little, no eyes. Look at, there's no eyeballs. Apparently no nose. This is kind of a gross thing. And I want you to see how small this little animal is. Look at, there's a hand. That's not a giant. That's a regular human being. And it's not Photoshop. This, folks, is a baby panda. A giant panda, one of the largest bears in the world, produces this. How many of you ladies would say, I would love to have been pregnant? Well, not necessarily with that. That's kind of gross. Like, all right, you can put the lights back on. When let me just say this real quick. It's off the topic, but I think it's hilarious. Any chance I get to make fun of my brother, I'm going to do it. When my brother was born, he was stuck in the birth canal for a long time. And so, for whatever reason, he was stuck in there for a long time. So whenever my brother was actually born, and my mom was kind of doped up, right? Like, she was kind of in and out of it. Whatever they gave her was really good, apparently. And they brought my brother to my mom, and whenever they did, she saw that his forehead was pushed way back, kind of like somebody off of Planet of the Apes. And she said, what happened to my baby's head? And she started freaking out. So ever since then, we've called him Gorilla Head, and I love it. He's just a big watermelon gorilla head. It came back. It's kind of round now, but there for a while, it was touch and go. You know, we thought maybe we had a cone head, and so it was really, I like making fun of my brother. But the babies pandas are just really ugly compared to what they're going to become. And they're so small compared to what they're going to become. I kind of ruined the moment when I said baby panda at the beginning, because if I would have showed that from the beginning, most people in here would not have guessed baby panda. We would have thought, you know, three blind mice. We would have thought, you know, it's some kind of gerbil mixed, you know, with something else. But we would not have guessed baby panda. But that's what it looks like. And I want to tell you something today. How you came in today is not necessarily how you'll leave. What you see in your life right now is not necessarily what God sees in your future. I think there's something bigger and better and greater that's waiting on you as you grow and mature and as God does a work in your life. I believe today God is in the mission of transforming people. We tell people this all the time. We're not here to make you feel good this morning. We are here to change your life. That is our goal today, is to see people come in one way and leave somewhere some other kind of way when they leave this place. I want that for my life today. I want to be different. So I want you to look quickly at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. A new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. God wants to change us today. Romans chapter 6. And I've got a bunch on here. If you don't mind, just indulge me. Let me just read some scripture to you today. I'm going to start at verse 1. Let me look at verse 1. It says this. What then shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. He says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? In other words, Paul's talking to the people here, the Romans, and he's saying, hey, look, I get it, right? Like grace is on your life. Like, God has grace for you. His blood covers your sins. We understand that. He said, but that doesn't give us license to just continue to sin because we know that God will forgive us. Right? Have you ever had one of those friends in your life that you forgave that friend, and so then all of a sudden that friend decided they can continue, right, to hurt you, they can continue to mooch off of you, they can continue to take from you because they know that you're going to forgive them. They know that you're a Christian and according to the Word of God that you need to forgive them. Have you ever had one of those people in your life? It's terrible. And Paul's saying, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that continues to sin just because he knows he can be forgiven. And let's continue on. In verse 3 it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus, talking about the water baptism too, were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When you get baptized today, the whole point of you being baptized is that you identify with Christ. Now, we're not going to kill you and bury you and try and raise you from the dead, right? We would get arrested and they would shut down the church, I hope. But instead, what we do is you bury somebody in the water and bring them out. And it symbolizes exactly what happened to Christ. That I went in one way, but I'm coming out totally different. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm coming out totally different. Today, I'm believing that for you. I'm believing that for every one of us because we need to be changed. So there's three people or stories that I want to get into today and talk to you about that something happened in the water. And the first one is the nation of Israel. And just to give you a little background, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 14. But to give you a little background, the Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews, have been slaves for 400 years in Egypt. And finally, they're crying out to God, and God sends a man named Moses to help them get set free, to lead them out of captivity and into freedom. And so as the story goes, God speaks to Moses and tells them the path that they should take. The problem is, like, the Israelites thought God's GPS wasn't working because he didn't take them around the ocean. He took them into the ocean. He took them right up to the edge of the Red Sea. And as they got to the Red Sea, they start kind of freaking out because Egypt willingly let them go, but then the Pharaoh got mad and said, no, we can't let all our workers go. Send the army. So they send the army, and so the Israelites get to the edge of the Red Sea, and so they've got water in front of them, and they look back, and they've got the entire Egyptian army bearing down on top of them. So they're in a pickle, right? They're in trouble. What do we do? And so that's where we're going to look for just a second. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 14, and I'll read through this quickly. Verse 21, the Bible says, the Lord told Moses to do this, then Moses stretched his hand out over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters divided. In other words, Moses stretched out his hand, and whenever he did, the water split. A big wind came through, the water split, and the ground even dried up. And it says in verse 22, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters being a wall to them on their right and their left, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea. All of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen. Let me pause for a second, and let me go off topic for just a minute, because I feel like there's something here that somebody might need. And that is this, a couple of little phrases. Number one, it says Moses had to stay there all night. Sometimes we expect God is going to just come in and in one instant, everything in your life is going to be better. In one instant, you're going to be totally set free from everything. But sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes it takes some work. And the Bible says that although God is all-powerful, he understood what was happening. He knew the end of the book that we don't always know. And it took all night for the ocean or for the sea to divide. It took all night for the ground to dry up. The other thing it says is we think sometimes we just step right off into the dry ground, and once we see a little bit of light, once we see a little bit of something good in our life, we think this is it, this is perfect, everything's going to be hunky-dory from here on out. But the Bible says that Pharaoh and his army went in after them. Can I tell you something today? Just because you accept Christ, just because you make a commitment to Christ, just because, like the song said, you consecrate yourself to God through baptism, does not mean that the enemy won't still follow you. It does not mean you're not under attack. But let's keep going, because I'm going to lose my place if I don't. Verse 24, In the morning, the Lord in the pillar of fire and the cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels, so they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea. So all the Israelites are getting through, and God says, turn back and look at the sea and stretch out your hand. And whenever he did, Whenever he stretched out his hands, the Lord said, stretch out your hand to the sea so that the water may come back on the Egyptians upon their chariots and their horsemen. So Moses did it, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh who had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, and the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. Can I tell you something today? Some of you, just like me, have entered into the sea a slave. Sometimes we go into the sea a slave. Sometimes we go into the sea just like that, a slave, addicted, stuck in sin. The Bible says that we are slaves to sin. Before we accept Christ, we are slaves to sin. And so whenever we enter into the sea, we may go in as slaves. And you may say, but Pastor, how do I know I'm a slave to sin? Because you can't get over it. If you've got something in your life that you cannot get the victory from, that you cannot get past, you are a slave to that thing. If you are addicted to something, and look, every time I say addiction, here's what we think. We think drugs, we think alcohol, we think tobacco, we think sex. But can I tell you something? There's a lot of addictions out there that have nothing to do with those things. There are a lot of addictions that some of us suffer with that have nothing to do with that. Some of us are addicted to acceptance. Some of us are addicted to people's praise. That's why we get on Twitter and Facebook and we get on Instagram all the time and we're checking our followers. We want to see how many people liked our post. We want to see how many friends do we have stacked up on Facebook. Why? Because we are addicted to someone accepting us. We are addicted to someone praising us. We get on Periscope and we get down if we don't have, 500 followers and a bunch of little hearts floating up everywhere. Some of y'all are thinking right now, what the heck is he talking about? It's okay. Somebody knows. I don't know if there's any way for an older generation to know this because we didn't have, when I was a kid coming up, we didn't have all the social media stuff, But even as a minister, we can be addicted to getting on the internet and looking to see how many people downloaded our sermons. It's an addiction. We have addiction sometimes to gossip. We can't wait to just get on the phone and we tell ourselves, I'm not going to gossip about this person today. I'm not going to say these things about this person today. And then we get on the phone with that one friend and we can't help but just unload a bunch of poison. We have other addictions in our life. And so there may be some of us today, we're going into the water a slave. But can I tell you something? You're going to come out a free person. When you come out, you're going to be totally set free. God wants to set you free today from every single addiction. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that I love is not only does he set you free, but he closes the water in on that enemy. On that enemy that wants to drown you, on that enemy that wants to keep you, on that enemy that wants to hold you back, God says, I'm going to close the water on him. What does that mean? That means he is taking away the power of the addiction. Does that mean you won't every so often still think about it? No, it doesn't mean that. But it just means that God can not only set you free, but he can take away the power of that addiction in your life. The Bible says this. It says that there is no temptation unto man that I won't give you an escape for. God says, I will give you an escape for every single kind of temptation. What does that mean? That means that I'm free from that sin. I do not have to go back to that sin. I do not have to look at that website. I do not have to pick up that drink. I do not have to put that thing in my body, right? I don't have to do that. Why? Because I am free from the power of my slavery. I'm free from the power of my slavery. A lot of people talk about, we talk about this here at church sometimes, is that the Israelites, not only were they set free from slavery, not only did God want to set them free from slavery, but he wanted to get slavery out of them. He wanted to get them out of it, but then get it out of them. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to not only set you free on the outside, he wants to set you free on the inside. There's some of you sitting here today that you've been addicted to something before. Probably all of us at some point have been addicted to something before. And there's nothing more enjoyable, there's nothing more life-giving than whenever you realize that you're no longer addicted to that thing. When you realize that you no longer have to have that thing, that is a great feeling. And any of you that have been set free from an addiction, you know what I'm talking about this morning. That's a great feeling. There's another person that in the Bible we're going to read about. His name is Naaman. So the Israelites went in slaves and came out free, and some of you today are going to go in a slave, but you're going to come out free. Naaman had a different problem. Naaman, in 2 Kings chapter 5, the Bible says this: Naaman was the commander of an army of the king of Syria. He was a great man and with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now leprosy in those days, could in the Bible, it could mean any number of skin diseases, right? It could mean, it wasn't just leprosy like what you see on the movies where there's a leper colony and they're, you know, their body parts are falling off. That is leprosy, but in the Bible, when the term leper comes up, it can mean any number of skin diseases, and it made him unclean. It says, so he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she had worked in the service of Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus so spoke a girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went and taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, you have my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word for me to cure this guy of this leprosy? Only consider and see how he's seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may know there's a prophet in Israel." In other words, what Elisha said was, "Hey, look, the letter wasn't for you, dummy. The letter was for me. I'm the one that can cure him, not you," right? And so he sends Naaman. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him. Elisha didn't even go talk to the guy. And saying, "Go and wash yourself in the Jordan," it's a river, "seven times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." Now let me just pause for a second. The river Jordan is also the same river that Jesus got baptized in. Just something to notice. And it says, "But Naaman was angry and went away saying, 'Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper.'" Let me pause here one more time. Sometimes what we want is we want something special. We want some kind of service where the preacher's going to call you out of the crowd and start waving his hands over you and do a magic trick. And sometimes God says that's not what it's all about. Sometimes it's about just listening to the man of God and obeying instead of waiting on somebody to come do a magic trick. Somebody needed that today. You're not shouting. You don't like it, but that's okay. It's good anyway. It still works. And it says, he says this, "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar," man, those are bad names, "the Abana and the Pharpar," I like that Pharpar. Everybody say Pharpar real quick. That's a fun word to say, isn't it? I like it. It says, "Rivers in Damascus better than the waters of Israel." In other words, I got better rivers in my hometown. "Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean?'" And there's another thought there. You know, I think if they would have asked him to do anything else, if the prophet would have said, "Go kill a giant," he would have gone and killed a giant. He didn't want to go get in the water. It was too simple. And sometimes we want things to be harder. We want to come down to the altar. And look, there was a time, and it's still valid, but you hear people say, "Tarry at the altar." Anybody ever heard someone say, "Tarry at the altar"? It's the idea of, I'm going to go pray at the altar, and I'm going to wait until something happens. And that is still a valid point. Don't get me wrong. There's this idea in prayer. Sometimes I think we're too fast in prayer, and we need to wait and see what God does. The Bible does say, wait on the Lord. And so there is that idea. But sometimes in our minds, we think, I got to make it hard. Like, I need to tear it. I need somebody shaking me and rolling me around on the floor. It's got to be hard. It's got to be loud. There's got to be a lot of, you know, people slapping me and stuff. Like, it's got to be big. And these guys are saying, hey, man, it doesn't have to be hard. What if God told you to do something simple? Would you obey if it was simple? We're saying, God, if it's hard, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God's saying, go get in that old dirty river. Seven times even. Now remember, we said a couple weeks ago that three means complete in the Bible. Seven also means complete in the Bible. And so he says, go get in the river seven times. And it says, so he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan. And according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh, listen to this, underline this in your Bible if you can, or highlight it on your phone. and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a what? Little what? Child. And he was clean. Like the flesh of a little child. Now in the New Testament, Jesus is going to say, come to me as a what? Child. Come to me as a child. What is different between a child and an adult besides the size, right? Like obviously that's a difference. But what's different between a child and an adult? You got to think about it. It's not an actual question. I don't really want you to answer. I want you to think about it for a second. Just think about it for a second. When you start thinking about the difference, one of the differences is there is a level of innocence that a child has and an adult does not have. We've used this example before, but my son, any of my kids are bad about this, but Colt especially, my four-year-old son, Colt especially is bad about this. If I say, Colt, I need you to go get in the shower or whatever, get in the tub, get washed off, and all of a sudden, if you're not in there watching him, he will hop out of that tub, no clothes on, soaking wet, and you'll look through the house and you'll see these little wet footprints, and he will run all over the house if you don't catch him with the towel fast enough, and he doesn't care if there's people in the house or not. He doesn't care if you're over there for small group. He will run through the house because he thinks it's hilarious. There's an innocence about that. And when you see that, you're like, oh, that's so cute. Little naked booty just running around the house. It's so cute. And Perry and I laugh all the time. Like, look at that little bit. Pow! You know, we just like to smack it. Not in a mean way, just in fun. You know, we just like it. But if you did that, right? If you did that, someone's calling the cops. Like, there's like, no, we're not doing that. You need to put that back where it came from. We are calling the police. 911. I got a naked man running around my house. And he's soaking wet, getting my carpet wet, right? That's really, for some of you ladies, that's the worst part. There's an innocence to a little child that an adult doesn't have. And here's the thing I love about this story. I'm not going to tell you today that if you've got some kind of skin disease and you jump in that tub out there, that you're going to come out clean. If you jump in that tub with skin disease, ain't nobody else getting, you know, baptized today. I can tell you that. Because God didn't tell us to do that part. But here's what I want you to notice. This man was unclean. And it was an outward uncleanliness. Now, the Israelites came out and they were set free on the inside from slavery. And God wants to set you free from the inside, from your addiction or your sin or whatever it is that the enemy has you bound up with. Depression, loneliness, whatever the enemy has you bound up on the inside. But then there's also some of these outside sins. See, the Bible says that Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, and he was wounded for our transgressions. And those words there are symbolic, and they're really good, because a transgression is something you do on the outside, and it was wounded. A wound is a cut. It's something on the outside, but a bruise is deep. It's on the inside, right? And so the thing is, Jesus not only wants to set us free today from what's on the inside, he wants to set us free from what's on the outside. And sometimes what's on the outside is guilt and shame. Sometimes we may have been forgiven years ago. We may have been forgiven last week for what we did, but we're still struggling, not with the sin. No, you're over the sin. You're free from the addiction, but what you struggle with today might be the guilt of that sin. I had somebody come up to me today. I hate to use examples that happen on the day, but I think it applies right here. So I won't use a name, but I think this applies right here. Somebody came up to me today, and they said that someone told them there's not enough blood to cover your sins. Here's what the enemy is saying right there. He's saying that there's still guilt on your life that you may have been forgiven years ago, but you're still going to have guilt. Can I tell you today, when you come up out of the water, you're made like a child. You are back to your innocence. The guilt and shame that you may be struggling with today has to leave. It has no power over your life. It has no power over your life. Something happened in the water for Naaman. Something happened. More than getting healed, he was restored. Someone told me today, or I think it was today or yesterday, Perry and I were talking about this message, and she said, you know, whenever I think about that, I think about somebody that's weathered, you know? Some of us are getting more and more weathered as we go, right? That's a really terrible way to say you've got wrinkles. Like, wrinkles is bad, but if someone says you're weathered, that's really bad, like old wood, right? And Perry started making fun of me because I'm always doing this, and I don't know why I do this, but I'm creating a weathered look on my forehead, which is bad because my forehead goes all the way back, right? Like I've got this, like my whole head is my forehead. And so I'm creating these wrinkles on my head, this weathered look. And she said, it's like being able to wipe away all the wrinkles. All of a sudden, you're brand new. Didn't we say at the beginning of the message today that God wants to make you brand new? Didn't we say that that's what baptism is all about, is being brand new, a new life in Christ? Part of that newness is being set free from some stuff, and part of that newness is being restored back to innocence. And that's what God wants to do to us today. Here's the last part. The last person is Jesus. And this is my favorite one. I like talking about Jesus. In Luke chapter 3, I want you to look at this. Now see, Jesus was baptized. And that right there could end the message. If you know that it's good enough for Jesus, then certainly it's good enough for me and you. If you're teetering today on whether or not you need to be baptized, you can just look at the fact that Jesus got baptized, and if he did it, you certainly can do it, right? And so Jesus gets baptized, and as the story goes, let's just read it. Luke chapter 3, I want to read this one verse, Luke chapter 3, verse 21. It says this, in the NIV, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Let's stop right there. We are talking about Jesus. And Luke, being as smart as he was, I mean, he's a physician, he's a doctor. You would think Luke is smarter than this. Whenever he's telling this story to his friend in this letter, he says, everybody's getting baptized. Oh, and by the way, Jesus was there too. Like, all the people are getting baptized. And Jesus jumped up in the water also. Why would you relegate Jesus to an also, to a two? He should be the first one. It should say, and Jesus was getting baptized, and a bunch of other people did too, but Jesus was getting baptized. It says, everybody's getting baptized. Oh, and by the way, Jesus was there too. Now you may be thinking, why in the world are you saying that, Pastor? Because sometimes that's how we feel. Sometimes we feel like everybody else is getting blessed. Oh, and we're along for the ride. We feel like everybody else is doing something great for God, and we just happen to walk up into the crowd while they were doing great things. Sometimes we feel like, and the enemy will make us feel like we're a nobody, we're a nothing. The other versions, the other gospel writers, when they wrote this, they said, and Jesus from Galilee was getting baptized. Like, oh, it's just, you know, Adam from Pinson, you know, there he is. There's old, good old Adam from Pinson. He showed up to get baptized. There's other places in the Bible where the word, where the town of Galilee was used derogatory, like saying people are dumb because they're from Galilee. In other words, like a bunch of rednecks, a bunch of uneducated rednecks showed up, you know, from way out in Blount County somewhere, backside of nowhere. They just showed up, and there's Jesus in there from Blount County. He just showed up to get baptized. And isn't that how we feel sometimes? We feel like we're nobody. We're nothing special. Some of y'all are from Blount County right now, and you're like, man, I can't believe that man just calling out Blount County like that. Listen, to be fair, I don't really know where all the redneck places are around here. I just kind of feel like in Alabama, you just throw a rock, and you're going to hit a redneck place at some point. So the thing is, and I'm not one to talk being from Louisiana, you know. These are two very, in Mississippi, let's just throw all of them in there together, bunch of rednecks, right? And so here's the thing, Jesus is relegated to a nobody, and some of us feel that way. Some of us feel like we're a nobody. Some of us feel like we're nothing. And we come into church every Sunday morning, and that's great. And we try and pray, we try and read our Bible, but then we see these other people. We see somebody getting up on stage and preaching. We see somebody being a witness. We see somebody doing this and doing that. And we think, wow, these guys are so great. I come into prayer sometimes on Wednesday nights. And when I show up at prayer, I see some of these folks praying. Like, I watch Ola pray. And I just sit there and I'm like, man, I wish I could pray like that. You know, like what's wrong with me? Why can't I pray like Ola pray? Ola can throw it down. I mean, she can pray so hard and so good. Like, you feel like the roof is going to cave in. And whenever I pray, it's like, you know, a little bit of dust falls from the ceiling. You know, it's like nothing's happening. There's no power. But Ola's got this prayer. And I think, why can't I do that? Can I tell you something today? The enemy wants you to feel like you're a nobody, you're a nothing. And because if he can keep you feeling that way, then you'll never get in the water. If he can keep you feeling that way, you'll never do anything for God. You'll always expect someone else to do it. One of my biggest gripes with the Israelites in the Old Testament, if you read through the book of Exodus, one of my biggest gripes about the Israelites is that God wanted to meet with them, and they said, send Moses to talk to God. Let's just let someone else do it. Some of you don't feel special, and so you're saying, well, let's just let pastor take care of it. Let's just let pastor do this, and let's let the leaders do that. But God's calling each and every one of you today to do something special. God's calling each and every one of you today to a level of leadership. He wants you to get up from where you are. He wants you to do something special. And I want you to look at this. Jesus went in just some guy also. Jesus went in as that guy over there too, but look at how he came out. Let's look at Mark chapter 1. Verse 10 and 11, it says, "And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And in a voice from heaven said, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" Jesus went in a nobody to everybody else, but when he came out as the Son of God. He came out anointed and filled with power from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he got up out of the river and the Spirit of God led him. God wants to anoint you today. He wants to fill you with his Spirit today. He wants to call you his son or his daughter today. Why? Because he doesn't see you as a nobody. He wants to prepare you and send you out. Now, y'all didn't get excited as I did on that one. Because I'm excited, because I know that God's got something special for you. But here's the problem. Some of you are still sitting there thinking, "I'm a nobody." Doesn't matter what he says. You need to go through the water today. You need to go through the water today. There's nothing special about that water. It's Birmingham City water, so there's really nothing special about it. But there's something special about you. There's something special about your commitment. The song we sang earlier said, if you consecrate yourself to me. Consecrate. What does it mean to consecrate? To consecrate means I set myself apart. Consecrate says I'm putting myself, I'm devoting myself to you. And what is the baptism? It's symbolism for you saying, I am identifying myself with Christ. I'm consecrating myself to him. I'm no longer my own. I am now his. I am no longer a slave to my own selfishness. Now I am a slave to his righteousness. I am no longer guilty and full of shame. Now I am innocent and I am coming to him as a child. I am no longer just Wes from Moody. I am now the child of God, called and anointed to do great things for the Father. That's how you come up out of the water. I'm going to end today with one last little thought. And that's the thought of Jesus not only being baptized in the water and coming out, but the Bible says that that's symbolism of him going into the grave and coming out. See, Jesus was killed. He was murdered to be the sacrifice for our sins. And the Bible says they buried him. But the Bible says he didn't stay buried. 3 days later, he came up out of the grave, brand new. And I want you to look at this. He went in dead, and he came out alive. The same power, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says the same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you this morning. And he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. There may be some death in you today. The Bible says if you're in sin, if you're not following Jesus Christ, that we are dead in our sins. It says spiritually, we're already dead. We may be alive physically, but spiritually, we're already dead. But I'm believing today that whenever you get buried, the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I'm believing today there may be some dead areas in your life. You may be looking at your life today and you're saying there's some dead dreams. There's some dead purpose. You may be saying, you know, Pastor, I felt like God called me to do something years ago and I've just let it go. Or God called me to do something and I've just kind of backed off of it because I look at myself and I'm so guilty. I'm so shameful. I look at myself and I'm not good enough. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not special. And I've just kind of dropped that dream. I've dropped that promise. Maybe God made you a promise years ago and you've just kind of let it die. Can I tell you today, God wants to resurrect that dead thing. God wants to bring back to life all the death. He wants to bring it back in you. He wants to raise you up. There may be some of you not serving God today, and he wants to raise you up. Acts chapter 3, and this is my final verse. Acts chapter 3 says this, "Repent, therefore, and turn back." This is verses 19 and 20. "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, And that's good. When you repent, you want your sins blotted out. You want your sins wiped clean. And repent just means to turn from your ways, to do a 180, right? So he says, turn back, repent. But look at this part. It says that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. Today I'm believing that there are times of refreshing. That word refreshing means to be renewed, refreshed, revived. There's a revival that needs to happen today. And it's not a revival of the whole church. It's a revival of you. It's a revival in your heart. It's a revival in your life. It's a revival of those dead things. It's a revival of those broken dreams that you've let crumble. It's a revival of all the purpose that God has inside of you. He wants to revive that in you today. I want everybody to bow their heads with me this morning and close your eyes. Today there may be some of you that say, Pastor, first of all, I need to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I need to give him my life. I need to ask God to forgive me of all of my sins. If that's you this morning, I want you to hold your hand up. And you can put it right back down. Thank you very much. You can put it right back down. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Anybody else? Anybody else? You just need to ask Jesus to come into your life. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Anybody else? Awesome. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. And cleanse me from all the shame and the guilt that I may feel. And raise me up brand new. The old is gone. I'm a new creation. In Jesus' name, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For the rest of you today, with your eyes closed, nobody looking around, there may be some of you today, my final prayer is this, there may be some of you today that you're saying, Pastor, I need a revival in me. There's an area of my life where I need a revival. I need a change. I need some life to be injected into me. If that's you this morning, I want you just to begin right now. You can put your hand over your heart, and I want to pray for you right now. God, right now I pray for revival to fill our lives. I pray today for the Holy Spirit, just like you came on Christ, to come on these people today. I pray that you would fill us all, myself included, fill us all today with your Spirit. I pray today that you would lead us and guide us today in all the purpose and power that you have for us. And we pray this today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.